Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Can you feel the power? Can you feel the power? Feel the power of Double XL.
Positive Power 21.org. Internet Radio.
You are listening to Jerry Weisslein Worldwide Podcast.
Hey, 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 my name is Davis and I'm from Haiti, but I live in Dominican Republic. I'm here, Positive Power 21, Jerry Weisslein Worldwide.
Hey, hey, what's up, family? What's up? What's up? Welcome to Late Night. Late Night with Jerry Weisslein Worldwide and the lovely from Elations Radio and Magazine, Kimmy Kim from St. Louis is here with me tonight. Also, a very special guest. That's right, Miss Judith. That's right, Miss Judith is here to talk about her book called Voices. Oh, man. I'm sorry, she had a whole bunch of books. Meet the Three Princesses. I think this was, I was trying to read it in French. My bad. But she's here to talk to us. I met her on Clubhouse, and she here to tell us all about her whole collection, a series of books. It's for you. That's right. All right, now let's get my good friend Kimmy Kim so we can talk to her real quick. Batman didn't get his last cup of coffee today. I need to shut my mic down. What's up, Kimmy Kim? What's going on in your world? What's up? What's up?
Hi, Jerry. What's up? What's up? What's
going on with you? I didn't get my dinner coffee, so I'm in slow motion right now.
You don't have your dinner coffee?
No, I didn't have my dinner coffee.
How many cups of coffee do you do?
Not a lot. No more than four. You know, I usually bring them up.
Okay.
Yeah, you usually bring them up in the quarters, you know.
Not too bad.
Yeah, you get your morning, your late morning, your afternoon, and then your evening. That's how I do it. Yeah, I had a long weekend. My wife had me in the gym 2 days in a row. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I cannot wait until I can start working out more frequently because I need to shed some pounds. As my friend Michelle used to say, I need to release it. Not release.
So what's the deal? You don't have the time now to get in there?
Well, it's so cold, and that's my excuse. I don't like to work out in the cold weather. I need to overcome that.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to get some resistance bands and just throw on, something on YouTube. They got so much stuff out there.
I've been doing working out from home, but there's nothing like the gym. The gym is my sanctuary. I love the gym.
You know what?
I need to be there at least an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's us. When I go with my son, we there like almost two. We usually get there like 11 o'clock and stay there like one. But my wife go, we kind of try to get the treadmill in and some weight. And, you know, it was crazy. Speaking of, you know, that being a sanctuary, we always start off on a treadmill to get warmed up and everything, you know, get the heart pumping before we hit the weights. Mm. And so she, I think she picked the location on the treadmill. You know, they got two rows of them at Planet Fitness, right? So this dude comes on, he walks right up on me, right on the left side. You know, the whole row is available. In front of us and beside us, then he's doing all kinds of crazy stuff on the treadmill, playing with his phone, looking at people. My wife said something wrong with this guy. I said, yeah. So he just jacked up my whole treadmill workout. Right. All right. The next day, Sunday, we in there ready to get it on. We're gonna do the hills on the treadmill. this guy, well, I picked the location, but he was already there, right? So he looked cool. So we got in there. He, you know, one trim in between us. And he making these crazy noises like something wrong with sinus. Like every 2 to 3 minutes. So, yeah, it was so distracting. My wife and I just wanted to get off of there and walk down to the other room. I said, no, I'm just going to hang in there. Maybe just have him something, you know, hung up in the sinus or something. But it just went on for 30 minutes. Do you believe that?
Wow.
Ruined my whole piece on the treadmill, man.
I had to go.
I know.
Crazy.
I was listening to one of my favorite artists, independent out there. Her name is Gracie. I think it's Jamie Gracie or Jay. You know, they got so many unusual names these days. I'm going to give y'all the exact right name. I'm going to give you the correct name. Her name is, and I was just, oh, here we go. Yeah, Jamie Gracie. I don't know what we call her, something else. Jamie Gracie, young lady. I think her and her sister got some nice stuff out there on YouTube. I was checking out their video, but I got them on my Spotify. And I was, you know, because they do the acoustic stuff. It's like a combination of pop with country. And I just love the music, you know, that young people. And this guy just ruined my whole Sunday.
But
thank you for getting
it. The thing is, I mean, I understand that some places don't have mask mandated, but still, you know, keep it in space in between. I mean, it's a whole bunch of equipment in, you know, Planet Fitness, because I go there as well. And it bothers me.
I know.
And then you have those.
Yeah.
You know what else bothers me? Then I'm going to be done. When you can do some of your routines at home.
Yeah.
Like your crunches, you can do that at home.
Yeah.
I just do the things that I can't do at home.
That's what I say. You know,
be jumping up and down.
One guy was doing jumping jacks. It was so distracting. Right in the middle of the stuff.
You can do that at home.
I know.
Be showing off. I'm sorry.
Crazy. And he need a personal trainer. Go over there in the personal trainer locator. That's what the little yellow area is for. Do that crazy stuff. But it was it was a lot of people too was walking around without their mask on. And you know, my buddy was just telling me too. He said, this is the same thing that happened last summer. And it happened in India and it's happening in Hong Kong. But Hong Kong is in trouble right now. They actually begging for help in Denmark. They let down the mandates. They weren't sweating people about being vaccine, and then they went right back into a third wave. And we gonna be heading there right when Easter comes, because a lot of the big churches are opening up, and people gonna be showing off out the mask. And it's another variant flying around in Hong Kong and South. Matter of fact, South Africa got it right now, and it's called a BA2. Of the Omicron, and this thing's supposed to be highly contagious.
Oh my goodness.
You won't get as sick.
Are there? And I'm gonna still wear my mask. I will be masking.
Yeah, I'm masking up because my buddy. We saw our best friend. He actually does our carpet, so we see him a couple of times a year. He was at this restaurant my wife and I went for Valentine's Day, because we celebrated like the next weekend, right? And he came in there for his mask on, and then he saw us and he came. I said, weren't you just sick with the variant, the thing? He said, yeah, man, it was right after Thanksgiving. He said, I was sick for 14 days. And this is like a dude to go to the gym regular.
Wow.
He's all buffed up and, you know, pick up massive amount of weights when he work out. Former police, just retired, on his back. He said he ain't never sweat so much in his life. And they had to call a nurse to come get him. I was like, what? And you ain't here find no mask on? All up in people's face? So I think COVID does something to people's brain, because I've heard some people say they got foggy COVID, foggy brain, and then
it did. It did that for me, and also I have I was aching, coughing. I couldn't really think.
That's right. I forgot you had it. Yeah.
I literally could not think. I was at a computer one time, and it was all fuzzy for me.
Can't remember your password.
It is.
Your username.
Yeah.
You know, Lady Crystal said the same thing too. I'm not sure if you talked to her, if y'all were on the same show, but she said the same thing too. She said, and she's still having problems, you know. And it's been a minute.
Luckily, I haven't coughed like I was coughing since January, because I got it like the week of December the 15th. So I was quarantined for 10 days before they changed the quarantine days. And then after my quarantine, I was still coughing, and it's lingering. But now I don't even call.
Yeah, because we were missing you for a while on the air. I remember Shay said, yeah, Kimmy's sick. I was like, Kimmy's sick? When? But, you know.
But I was still on.
Yeah, you were still hanging in. Yeah, you were still hanging in there.
I still came on, yeah.
Yeah, you was a little foggy brain, but you was here.
Yeah, I had a fog brain now.
Yeah, I could tell.
I was like, huh?
I could tell. I was like, what's wrong with Kimmy? You know, well, you know, everybody get different, you know, after the long haul. My mom said that's one of the things she would hate to see happen to people, you know. And I have a funny feeling that this is going to be something that's going to be pretty drastic, but the state is probably going to be paying people benefits because they're not going to be able to go to work. I have an aunt right now. My aunt told me just the other day that her sister caught it and they had to put a trach in her, and she's only in her 60s.
Wow.
And she couldn't talk for months. So she, and now she's living in a nursing home. You imagine living in a nursing home in your early 60s? I was like, man, that's so sad. I remember her so vibrant, you know, and she caught it. I don't, you know, she didn't get into how.
And COVID did that to her?
COVID did that to her. She was in pretty bad shape, man. Messed her up.
Mm.
Yeah. So you got to be careful out there, y'all. Not everybody going to react to it the same way. Yeah, some people can go back out there and play pro football, but that's not going to be everybody, you know. So you gotta be your own advocate.
I would still do my mask and my distancing. Yeah, I'm masking.
Yeah, believe me, if it's the summertime and no one's in the hospital for COVID, I may still have my mask on because something might just pop up. Just never know. And it's going to probably happen it's going to happen on the ships first because, you know, some of those big ships about to pull back out again. They've been trying. And I heard out in San Francisco, a ship was docked because the whole crew got sick. And this was just last, when was this? This was December. Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, you ready to talk to Miss Judith?
Has an amazing collection of books.
I know, but so much. Yeah, I was on there.
Very impressed.
Yeah, she got it all. Miss Judith, welcome to Late Night Talk Radio. How you doing? How are you?
Hello.
There she
is. Hi, everyone. I'm good. How are you?
Well, Miss Judith, let me tell you, this is not Clubhouse, so you don't have to talk for 30 seconds, and you can talk as long as you like. You on here for 45 minutes. All right?
Okay.
It's just you. That's right.
And sometimes I get in trouble, too. So.
That's right. Yeah, we're supposed to stop at 11. 11 my time, not 11 her time. I'm on the east. That's right. You don't have to pass the mic to nobody, okay? There's no mods.
Okay.
So have fun. Tell us all about yourself. Tell us about your books, your life. People want to know. They want to know here on Positive Power. We got an international audience. They love listening to the progress of African Americans because we've been left out of the history books so much that other countries don't know who we really are. And they'd be amazed.
Amen.
That's right. Our leaders are not entertainers and sports athletes, like Malcolm X said. We're more than that. We're doctors, we're lawyers, that's right. We're entrepreneurs, we're leaders in our communities, our schools. Oh, I'm about to preach. All right, Ms. Jude, let me get off this mic. I'm going to be right here. Listen, you guys have a great show, all right?
Oh, well, thank you again.
Wow, thank you. Thank you so much, my sister, for coming on, and I just love the your site. It looks like you enjoy reading and writing. Well, you have to enjoy reading because you're writing. And so before we get into this wonderful fellowshipping time, I just want to thank you once again for coming on. And I just love children's books. And it's amazing that you have a collection. And I was just so impressed with it. So can you tell a listener who is... Now, who are you?
Okay. Well, it's nice meeting you too, and thank you, Jerry, for inviting me. So my name is
Jerry. Jerry's amazing.
Yes, she is. I am a Haitian American. I was born in Haiti, and I moved to Chicago when I was 11 years old, and that's where I went to, you know, from the fourth grade to high school and then college. After high school, I went to Florida for college, and then I came back to Chicago, and that's where I finished my college degree. And then I also went back to school to get my master's in creative writing. And I just graduated in 2020. So I have always
Congratulations.
Loved, thank you. Yes, I've always loved to write. It's like, it's always been a dream of mine. That people ask me a lot, you know, what made you want to write, things like that. But I just don't know. I think since I was little, it's just one thing that I've always wanted to do. So, you know, I decided to pursue my dream and get my degree. So I've written a few things, a lot of things, actually, but not very much have been published. So earlier in 2021, in the summer, I published my first book, a poetry collection.
Breakthrough
to New Beginnings. Yeah, it's called Breakthrough to New Beginnings, a Poet's Journey. And then also in 2021 is when I started getting ideas to write children's books. And I, you know, looked into it and I, you know, it just came naturally to me. The ideas kept pouring and pouring. And so that's how I made the Three Princesses series. And so the first book in the series is Meet the Three Princesses. And I just published it in January of this year. And I'm very proud of it. I'm very excited. So far, a lot of people have, you know, everybody who's read it or who's, you know, who's seen it, have loved it. I've been going to a couple of schools right here in Chicago and reading it to children. And
oh, wow.
The feedback has been great. They love it. Yeah. So.
So you said a lot, and you said a lot. I got to dig into this meal. So you're a Haitian, and you and now you live in Chicago. How was that transitioning? Or were you small when you left Haiti, or were you more so?
I was 11 when I left Haiti. And
so how was it as an 11-year-old?
Oh, it was kind of strange. I really didn't know much about what was going on. I just kind of knew what I remember is that we went to, like, this big building. There were a lot of people that I didn't know. I wasn't used to seeing white people, but in there were like white people and, you know, Haitian people, other kids too. But I didn't know it at the time, but later, of course, it was the U.S. Embassy in Haiti. And so, yeah, after a couple of times going there, I got my passport, and then they told me that I was traveling. And my mom had moved to Chicago before me, and so I was just happy that I would be joining her in Chicago. So. Yeah,
that's awesome. Okay, so you say you you was raised in Chicago. What was it like for you in Chicago?
Oh, it's
I love Chicago.
Yes, I love it now. You know, when I first came, of course, I didn't speak any English, so I spent the first 3 years going to ESL all day long, and so it wasn't until like maybe seventh or eighth grade that I started going to regular, like, school with, like, all the other students, you know. So doing ESL class, it was so different because it was, like, just a few of us, and the teacher was lovely. It was fun. I remember it was just very nice, and I really enjoyed it. But then when I had to go to the regular classes with a bunch of other kids, and you know, I wasn't, you know, very comfortable. It was like, oh, wait a minute, now I'm an introvert naturally, and I never I'm not like a big talker, and especially back then I was super shy, so I just was that kid who, like, just kept to myself and, you know, went home and was kind of a nerd too. But also writing was always something that kind of helped me through a lot of the things that I, you know, was going through. And yeah, so that was
That's amazing.
That was one of the things that kept me going.
I love that about you, that you, you're really international. You kind of remember, but you don't. And then you went to Chicago, and you realized that you wanted to be a writer. How old were you when you first knew you wanted to be a writer? Because I'm going to be honest, I enjoy writing, but writing was not my favorite thing to do. So I started, mm-hmm. I grew into writing because of, you know, going through the trials and tribulations. What age?
Yeah. I have very vague memories from like when I was in Haiti of me either like feeling interested in writing or writing some.
Yes, and writing. Like when did you know that writing was definitely for you?
Yeah. When I moved to the U.S., after, okay. you know, I learned the English and everything, I started going to English and literature classes at my school,
okay.
and where I had to write papers and essays and stuff like that. And I just, I kind of was like really enjoy writing some papers. I don't remember what they were about, but I kind of really liked them. And my teachers, they were always like giving me a lot of compliments and, you know, made me feel, you know, give me a confidence boost because I would always get A's on my papers and it would.
Oh, wow. So you are a natural then, sounds like.
And things like that. So, yeah, when I was like maybe around 13, 14, that's when I knew for sure that I really wanted to be a writer. Yeah.
That's awesome. And do you remember when you wrote your first book? What age were you? I'm doing like steps so I can showcase people that sometimes God will give you your purpose at an early age. That's why I'm asking. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay. I want to show the young people that God can still use you when you're 11, 12, 13, and you knew at 13 that you wanted to be a writer. So when was the first, what age were you? What were you when you first wrote your first book?
Yes, I remember in like in the ninth grade, that's when I had like a this notebook where I wrote poetry. So my first things that I started to write, I remember, were poetry. And then, you know, like that same year in high school, like also in the ninth grade, I got this idea for a novel and I started writing and I was writing, but I never finished it. I have, when I was in high school, I started writing like probably three or four novels that I never really finished because, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing. There were other things that I had to worry about, like school and things like that. So I never really got to finish. And then, you know, as the years went by, I actually wrote my very first complete book. I started in 2012 and I finished it in 2015. And
wow.
It's been a journey of writing and rewriting it ever since. So, and that book, I do plan on publishing it this year too.
Oh, wow. Okay. So when you do you write based on what you're going on? Or do you have a creativity side where you're creating stories? How do you create that book? And when you know that this is for you and this is a hit, because I'm looking on your site, you have a lot of books. You're writing.
Yeah, so how do I know? I don't know. It just comes to me. Sometimes I'm inspired by something that I see, something that, you know, that just kind of stimulates my interest. And I write a lot of nonfiction as well. And at first, when I first started writing, I thought that I wanted to be a strictly like a nonfiction writer and write about, you know, my childhood. I wrote about my, all the, you know, different journeys and poetry and things like that. But as, you know, I started going to school, I really became interested in writing fiction as well. So I think now I'm both a fiction and a nonfiction writer. And, you know, I'm just inspired, like, every day or every other day I would get an idea and, you know, either I would write it down, and when I, from these ideas, whatever I feel really more inspired to write, that's usually how it would become a story or a book.
Oh, wow. You are very talented. I mean, to learn a new language, and when you became very comfortable with the English language, you received many compliments from your teachers, and now you're still writing. How does it feel knowing that you are in the purpose that you were meant to be? What kind of feeling do you get in knowing that?
Yes, well, it feels absolutely amazing. I mean, like, when I've done a lot of other things, you know, jobs and different things to, you know, to survive. And really, I've never been as happy as I am now, because knowing that I've actually made a book, like that I've created it and I've published it, that's one part of the fulfillment. But it's also just writing it and knowing that it's like a feeling that you get after, you know, after you've done something that's really, really, that makes you really happy. And for me, I have to write because it's like if I hold everything inside, then, you know, it's going to make me stressful and it's not good for me. But when I write, and especially I write about something that was an experience that I had, or I journal, I feel really, really great. So it's just an amazing feeling knowing that I'm walking in my purpose. And, you know, the journey might be long, it might be hard. Sometimes it's not easy, but it's all worth it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on now. You're preaching, really preaching now. And so who are some of your favorite authors that you tend to really look up to?
Oh, yes. So my very first favorite author is Edwidge Dantica. She's a Haitian American writer as well. And when her book was the first book that I read that was by a Haitian writer, a teacher gave it to me. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, fell in love, and I've been reading her ever since, and she's still my favorite writer. And then I love Maya Angelou. Like, her poetry really inspires me, and also her life story. You know, she's written a few memoirs as well, and it's just something that, you know, she's just a powerful woman. So she's my favorite author as well. And I just love, you know, the great, you know, classic, Langston Hughes, bell hooks, you know, these types of people that I just really, really enjoy reading them, and that's also awesome. Learning from them as well. Yeah.
I love that. So it shows that you do have people that you like, and so it indicates that, because I tend to think that when you are in a particular field, you should always have a mentor. And so that's good that you have some good favorite authors who come from similar backgrounds, because that's important. And also, when did you first, like when you're writing a book, how long does it normally take you to write a book? Are you a quickie, or do you have to, is it, because some people take 3 months, some people take like a couple of years, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, it could take me a long time. Like I told you before, I started writing my first book in 2012, like my first book that I actually finished, and I finished it in 2015, and I rewrote it, like, I don't even know how many times. And I'm also doing an editing, hopefully the last round of edits right now. So it's, but I've also written, completed books in also maybe, I don't want to say 3 months because I've never finished a book in 3 months, but a year to 2 years, that's how long it would take me. And when that's why I love short stories as well, because a short story can take, you know, just one day or a couple of days and you'll finish with that. But a book is like, sometimes, you know, it just can take a long time. And then after that, it's the rewrite and the editing. That's also very time consuming, but it's also fun too. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. That's awesome. That means that you really love what you do, because when I talk about writing, I really hear the voice in your, I hear that, you know, that laughter, that joy, that it gives you a peace. It gives you like that serenity of knowing that you are creating a product that can really benefit someone else, you know? So that's really important, because a lot of people write just to write, but just to know that you love what you're doing says a lot about who you are as an individual. So what do you do outside of writing for a hobby? Why? Do you always write, or do you sometimes take time for yourself?
Yes, I do. I take time. I love to read, you know, of course, as a writer. It's like I have to read. So I love reading. I love just watching a Netflix show here and there and you know, I'm trying to get back more outside. I think you know, I don't know about you, but I need to get out more. So I'm trying to
It's quarantine. Yes.
Yes, exactly. So so yeah, I enjoy the outdoors, and now that the winter is maybe kind of slowing down, hopefully in a month or two, it won't be as cold.
I don't know about Chicago. One thing about Chicago, I love Chicago. You're not that far from me. It's so cold.
Yes. It was crazy. I love the snow. I love when the snow is falling. But
you do? Oh wow!
Not the cold. Yeah, I like snow, but not the cold. Like when you get fresh snow, it's beautiful and everything is covered in white. But it only lasts for like a day or two.
That's so true. But you know, you're not that far from me because I'm in St. Louis, so I cannot wait until the cold is over, because today our degrees are 60 and 70. The next week it goes back to the cold weather. So we have bipolar.
Oh,
but at least Chicago is consistent. You guys are cold.
Yeah. Well, today was actually really nice. I think we were in the 40s. But tomorrow is going to be cold again. So Chicago is like, you know, one day it's like freezing, another day it's the summer, and then it goes back to freezing. So it's like always just weird and windy.
Yeah.
And so day to day, you never know what you're going to get.
That's so true. Well, one thing I want to know as well, because you're in Chicago, and Chicago has a lot of artists and everything. So how do you get your books published? Do you do it yourself, or do you have someone to help you? How do you get your book out there? Because your website is gorgeous. It's amazing. And I love, like, your titles. We're going to go into your titles, and I want you to give maybe, like, us, like, your favorite book. But before you do that, how do you publish your book?
Yeah, I am a self-published author, which I don't think it's for the faint of heart, because there is a lot of steps that goes into it, and you have to be very careful. It's not that it's hard, like the writing and perfecting the book and then doing your own book cover, and you have a lot more control. So that aspect of it is awesome. But the part that I find that is hardest is the marketing of it. So It is easy to upload your book on Amazon KDP and publish it, you know, online on Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart. The hard part comes when you have to, you know, sell the book. And if, you know, if someone like me, I am basically doing it all by myself. So it's a learning process. But it's also, you know, it's something you have to have a lot of patience with. So, you know, so that you don't just like give up and get burned out. So.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I really appreciate that because you're showing us that, hey, you got to be hungry in this business because people says, I want to write a book. But yeah, writing a book is great, but make sure you're writing it for the right reasons. You want to be a blessing to someone. You want to help someone. Don't let money be your first motivation because it will let you down. You first have to have that passion. And I feel and see and I just feel that passion through the phone about what you love to do, which is writing. And thank you so much. So tell us some of your titles of your book and what is your favorite book and tell us, well, I don't want to give you too much, give away too much information, but give us a little, you know, a little appetite on what your favorite book and the synopsis. Because I'm going to go onto your website and purchase one. I'm just like, wow, you have so many books.
Thank you. I right now I'm really enjoying my children's book. Right now it's the newest book that's out. Meet the Three Princesses. It is, you know, about a family in Haiti and three sisters who live with their parents, and they you know, they're going to school, they're in their uniforms, and then mom stays home but dad works. He's a bus driver in Haiti. And so the girls misses him because he works a lot. And so the girls are always asking, you know, we miss daddy. He comes home so late and leaves early and things like that. And the dad also misses him. So misses the girls. So he decided to give them a very special surprise to help them understand, you know, why he works so hard. So that's the premise of like the first book, and I really love it right now. And then my other favorite book is one that's not even published yet, but for my
So you can't tell us, you can't tell us yet. You got to just give us like a surprise then. Okay. But yeah tell us this synopsis, you know.
Yeah. So when I graduated from my MFA in creative writing, my thesis was about like after college, I went to Haiti and I lived there for about 3.5 years. And so my thesis was a memoir about that 3.5 years, that experience. And so I think it's like my favorite thing that I've written so far because there were so many things that happened. You know, very crazy things. You know, Haiti is very unpredictable. So for me to be there for 3.5 years, I worked, I traveled. It was a great experience, but it was also not so great experience at times. So I'm very glad that I, you know, have that experience on paper, and I really hope to one day publish it.
Wow. So you went back to Haiti after your graduation. What was that experience like in going back to your hometown?
It was really great at first. I was like I've always wanted to go back to Haiti. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see the different different parts of Haiti, the beautiful parts that, you know, people don't really, the media don't really show us. And I also really loved being with my grandmother because when I was in Haiti, she was, you know, the one who raised me. So it was just a wonderful experience. And then it was hard because working in a completely different environment that I was not used to was was not easy. But I feel like this experience made me a lot stronger. You know, it made me develop like this tougher skin that that, you know, I needed to grow as a person. So I'm really glad that, like, for everything that happened. And it's like a good experience. There were some really good, you know, parts, and there were some parts that, or times that it was extremely difficult as well. So, yeah.
That's awesome. But just the fact that you went back home, that's awesome. I give kudos to you because you're showing that, hey, I'm from Haiti and I'm proud of my country. And you got the chance to see your family. And I'm sure that particular book is going to be amazing. Would it also be on your website as well once you're finished with that?
Yeah.
Please. Okay, now you got me, like, curious. What was the name of that book? Or how you came up with the title?
The title, oh, God, I want to name it something, but I don't know if I'll be able to name it that. For now, the title is Rain on My Parade. Because when I went to Haiti, I thought it was going to be like something completely different than it was. But I know that's Rain on My Parade. That was like a song or something. So I don't know if it's copywritten, if I would be able to.
Well, you can always change the parade to E or to R. So you can make it work for doing what you do.
Yeah, be creative with that.
Make it rain with the E at the end. Yeah, girl, make it do what you do.
Yeah. I'm sure that.
Be creative.
Yeah.
I like that, but I do like that title.
Yeah.
I do like that title. It's catchy.
Yeah. And, you know, I think when people read the book, they'll understand perfectly why the title is that.
I like that. Or it could be R-E-I-G-N on My Parade. Rain on My Parade. Because it could be a lot of ways to do that, girl. I'm waiting for this book. And so, like, when you write and you're creating this wonderful story, do you tend to add something in, or do you totally stick with fictional or non-fictional? You know, some people said, no, I'm not going to add anything. I just want it to be what it is, because the fictional is all, you know, true. So do you sometimes put a little ingredient to make it more spicy? I just love how fun writers are, or authors are.
Yeah. Well, when I'm writing nonfiction, I keep it extremely, like, just how it happened. And because some of the things that I write about, they're, like, things that are very... naturally, like, interesting. So it's like, I don't really need to add anything to make it extra spicy or anything like that.
Okay.
But when it comes to other people, you know, I do change names, and I change, sometimes I don't want to, you know, give too much of their, like, identity away. So I would find a way to, like, kind of hide that by, you know, changing something about their features, or changing, you know, some type of description, so that you know, I don't give away the whole, like, identity of whoever I'm talking about. But I've also done the opposite as well. Some people, you know, like when I'm writing about my family, it's like, well, they're gonna know that they're my family anyway, so there's much I can do about it. Yeah, but I like...
So you could have Keep it spicy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You could have... Oh, wow. You could have chose any type of book to write, but you chose to devote your writing to children. Why?
Yeah, there are so many... a few reasons. First of all, I want to humanize Haiti and Haitian children, because every time people here in the U.S. Hear about Haiti, it's always something negative, and it's only negative. And I'm not saying those things are not important to report, like we shouldn't ignore what's happening over there, but there's also, I feel like there's, it's dehumanizing if that's the only thing that people hear about, you know, about conflicts and poverty and things like that. So that's one of my motives, is to, you know, show people that Haitians, you know, have families, they have children, they love their children, they work hard to support and take care of their kids, and also that, you know, children are just children everywhere, like they're just like every other children, and you know, so hopefully that would be something that you know, as more people read it, maybe people who are not so familiar with Haitian culture, Haitian people, they will get to know a little bit better, and you know, be a little bit more curious and kind of start to see Haitian children and Haitian people as like more humane. And I also want, I think that representation matters as well. So there aren't really enough books that has representation of Haitian children, you know, Black children and, you know, diverse kids. So it was important, you know, for me to write something that I can see in schools and libraries, that children of color can kind of see their themselves, you know, being represented. So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, because I really believe, because of growing up, I didn't see too many books that looked like me. I had to go and read, you know, the Jack and Jill and Up the Hill and all those type of books growing up. And so it wasn't really motivating to know, to read, because, you know, you're seeing people that don't look like you. And just knowing that you're allowing the children of today to see faces that look like them, because we're still brown, black skin. So I believe what you said about Haiti, they're always reporting the negativity. I'm sure it's a beautiful city and a beautiful country, because they do the same thing with Africa. So I'm just grateful that you did say that, because that is all the United States report. They don't say, oh, you know, nice companies in Haiti that they may do business with, or vice versa, or the Haiti country has discovered this. They don't do any of those things. So thank you for pointing that out to us, because we don't know. So with that being said, after, you know, God calls you home and you receive your wings, what kind of legacy would you like to leave behind?
Well, I want to leave a legacy of, you know, giving voice to the voiceless, giving a voice to the voiceless, giving them the tools that they will need to, you know, succeed and also follow in their own dreams. And living their own legacy. So that's why I think education is really important to me, and I want to, you know, I want to help those who are not able to get, you know, adequate education in Haiti. Of course, I would like to start in Haiti and see more children go to school, get good education, and also see books, children's books, you know, everywhere in Haiti, in libraries and schools. So that's really one of my biggest goals and the legacy that I want to leave behind.
That is so amazing, because not only can you showcase the Haiti culture, you can also teach them English, because you came here to learn English, and you can do that also through Zoom. So you can do a lot now. You don't always have to go there in person. So I really love that about you, that you are such a good servant. You love people. I can just tell that your writing is a landmark for you. It showcases who you are as a person. You knew at a very young age what you wanted to do. And I really admire that about you, because you stick with it. You didn't really allow, of course, you know, you have some ups and downs, but you stand. And you're still standing. And now this wonderful site. Where can people reach out to you if they want to, you know, purchase your book, and they want you to tell your wonderful story and also share the beautiful pictures, you know, like, you know, how Haiti really is, because we need to promote that, because Haiti has brown, black skin, and Haiti is not all bad, and that's how they, you know, view Africa and Haiti. So how can people reach out to you?
Okay, so you can reach out to me if they go on judithbooks.com. They can purchase my books from me at judithbooks.com. The books are also available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target.com, Walmart.com, and a few other bookstores. So if you go on any of those websites, on, you know, Amazon and Barnes & Noble, for example, just type Meet the Three Princesses or type my name and it should come up. And I can also be reached via email at contact@judithbooks.com. So contact@judithbooks.com. And I'm also on Instagram. It is Judith Anique Francois. So Judith, J-U-D-I-T-H, then my middle name, Anique, A-N-N-I-Q-U-E, and then Francois, F-R-A-N-C-O-I-S. But all of that information can be found on judithbooks.com or judithanniquefrancois.com. So.
Awesome. And you mentioned that you're on Clubhouse. What is your Clubhouse name?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me see. My Clubhouse name is Judith A. Francois. So my first name, Judith A. And then Francois. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was a pleasure to really have this wonderful conversation with the fellowshipping time with you. And I will definitely follow you on your Clubhouse. I love the fact that you are bringing so many wonderful stories to the children of the future, not just for Haiti, but all children, because I really believe that all children should learn culture. I mean, not just white culture, Caucasian, black, everything, because that's true history. That's true transparency. Instead of, you know, having that myth about this is how some people are. No, let the children from that culture talk about their culture just as well as the Caucasian, black, and Hispanic. And so I really believe that transparency won't be here for me to see, but I can really, I see it coming for my great-great-grandkids. So thank you so much for that. And, before we go, though, I would like for you to give us a nugget of the week, but I want to see if Jerry Batman has anything else that he would like to ask you. Because you're so amazing. I just love, you're so humble. I just love your humble spirit. You're so, you got this meek voice, but you're very strong. So I thank you so much.
Try to get those books, y'all.
Jerry, do you have anything else?
Buy those books. Yeah. Judith, thank you so much for blessing our audience with your humbleness and sharing your country. Because I know right now there is a lot going on right now in Haiti with the Dominicans. And it's just so unfair to hear those stories like that, because we duplicating the same prejudices here. And we all from Africa. You know, just because everybody have different skin shades, but we all have beautiful hearts, you know, filled with love. But you know, some people just want to always put themselves high on a pedestal, you know, and that's not how God meant things to be. If they know the Bible, they find out that those who think they're first will be last. So check that out.
Come on now. Don't just drop preaching now up in here. Oh, wait.
Just because they don't know.
They
don't want to be in that position right now. I think the 400 years, the 400 years curse is over. You can see signs of it now.
Yeah.
So anyway, come on. Yeah, just be careful out there, Judith, and we hope to meet you someday here. We're planning to have an event in North Carolina at this television studio as soon as this stuff is all over, all our children, book authors. Of course, we give everybody like 6 months to plan to join us, hopefully 2023, you know, when the smoke is clear.
Okay.
That's right. Everybody come out.
I'm coming in. 2023? All right. Thank you. Enough time for me to come up there.
North Carolina. So, yeah, keep doing what you're doing. We had a chance to meet her on Clubhouse and listen to all the, it's a room where people are talking about some of their dealings with, you know, parents who and children living with autism. And these people are in a space where they're sharing, you know, another area that the people have problems trying to cope in America, and as people living with disabilities, we don't have enough opportunities. And myself, mm-hmm. I've learned a lot too, just dealing with what I deal with, you know, day to day. Because after a while, when you get older, you're going to slow down, and people don't think about that stuff when they're young. One day you're going to be your grandparents, but you're still going to need to make a living.
Come on.
So people need to think twice.
You're talking now. Yeah. I'm definitely slowing down.
Yeah, we are. We're going to slow down. And even I've had some people in the show who were in their 30s and got hit by cars and automobile accidents, and their life just changed. But you still got to make a living. You still have to make a living. So and people out there, you own companies, you're running organizations, man, you can't just throw them to the curb like that. You know, because people are developing multiple cirrhosis just like that. Parkinson's hitting them at an early age. You know, we don't know because we put in some crazy stuff in our bodies, man. You watch some of these news shows, especially I love me some Bloomberg Outtake. They show everything, the sciences, the technology, the, you know, everything, politics. Yeah. You get it all in. I'm like a walking encyclopedia now. You know, just 2 weeks of Bloomberg. I know a lot about stocks and investments, you name it. They just teach you. So anyway, I'm going to get off of that soapbox right now, but people, it's about love, man. That's why COVID out here, it's the world is too divided. Look what's going on over in our European country right now. You know, God trying to take. He's trying to take what's not his. And that's basically what it's all about. He's trying to take some resources. That's what is. And people going to be losing their lives over this stuff. And I don't even think he got that much longer to live, because some reports are coming out that he's been pretty sick himself. So he probably got long COVID. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's pray. Go ahead, Kimmy. Go ahead and pray us out, Kimmy. Kim, we can close this show. All right? And share it.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Jerry. Oh, no, go ahead, my sister.
Oh, no,
you're fine. Oh,
no. Oh, if Judith wanted to pray us out, it's cool.
No, she was going to say something. I was going to see what she wanted to say. Oh, I know I wanted her to give us the last nugget of the.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
hello, did you guys hear me?
Now, you're going to give us your nuggets, your last piece for tonight, and your website again. Because I know people have a problem with the spelling of your last name, Francois.
Okay. Yeah, Francois. So, my website is judithsbooks.com. So JUDITHSBOOKS.com. Judithsbooks.com. And I just want to, you know, tell people, don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on yourself. And just, you know that you know, everything's going to be okay. Just follow, trust God, trust, you know, his plans, and everything will work out. So that will be my last nugget for tonight.
Amen. I like that. I like that. You hear that, world, universe? That's right.
I love that.
Meet the three princesses. I like that. Hey, Judith, did we reach out to you about doing storytelling? I'm trying to remember because we have quite a bit of children.
Oh.
Authors hit us up.
I don't think we spoke about that, but I would love to.
Yeah, just send us. Yeah, read your book on. You know, do a home video. You need. I'll send you a clip so you get an idea how we like you to share it, and you can do it right from your phone. So anybody out there listening, your children book author, we're looking for more storybook reels for our segment on Ski Jones and the Magical Puppet Playhouse, and that is our puppet. Children's puppet TV show airing in 4 major cities on cable TV and your major digital streaming platforms. Amen. So little kids looking.
Yeah,
looking
that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, we have a great time doing this series. Station has called us today and said, you know, they didn't join it. And it's funny because I'm finding that our skills are getting a little better now. We actually a member of Puppeteers of America. My wife always laughs at me about that. But I told her it's a big organization. Listen, there's people belong to the organization got them big awards, got Academy Awards. What's a real big one you get? in acting? It just came on last night. That was Academy, right? Yeah.
I think that's Academy. Yeah.
Yeah. Get those big awards. Yeah,
they have so many around this time. I can't keep up with
I
them.
Know. But it was the really big one was on yesterday, and the Oscars too. And there's people that sit on our platform, you know, and these board, this board of this organization, and these people have sat down and worked with some of the big time actors on stage plays and TV series and movies, but their second love or their passion has always been, you know, to make children smile. So they use puppeteering to do that, you know. So just want to lay that out there. All right, but thank you. We hope to hear from you. We'd love to get you on that show. All right, Kimmy, you ready to pray us out?
I am, and thank you once again, Jerry, for this wonderful opportunity. I do not take this for granted, because I love showcasing my sister and others that you bring on. So thank you once again. And my sister, God bless, and we'll keep in touch. And let's go to the Father in prayer. Father God, thank you once again for a wonderful, yes. Thank you once again for a wonderful podcast. Thank you for this wonderful fellowship time with Author Judith. I just love her story. Like you said, you know, we focus on you and put our trust in you. You give us our purpose at an early age. And she kept on focusing on writing at the age of 12. So, Father God, continue on touching the young people, letting them know that they are never too young to know who you are. Father God, I thank you so much for Jerry Royce. Continue on growing his wonderful ministry so that people all over the world can see the good work that he is doing. He is so amazing. Continue on blessing him and his family, his children. Continue on blessing him to the point where it's overflowing. So, Father God, please forgive those who don't know you. Touch them in a mighty way. And continue on protecting, you know, Ukraine. We know that we are in a perilous time. So just to see so many women and children going through this is very heartbreaking. So, Father God, I know you can step up and allow them to overtake Russia. I'm sorry. I just don't think this is right. So, Father God, we're going to continue on praising you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm just sorry. I'm upset with that war.
Amen.
Really am.
I know. Yeah, some big protests going on. Even in Russia, the people are protesting in the streets. All right.
It's crazy. What was the purpose? But anyway, we ain't gonna go there.
In his mind, he has a purpose. But anyway, with all that said, let's keep those people in prayer that they know the Lord. And if it's his will, it's his will. All right.
Can I say something before you close out? I was on Instagram. I saw some Ukraine singing gospel music. I mean, Christian music. That was so amazing. So I'm with them.
Oh yeah,
Christian, I mean, they were.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, Kimmy.
Yeah,
you know, Christianity, because of the internet, has really grown worldwide. I mean, our audience is really up there. I think we might be 80-20 now. Even more countries coming on board during this time, listening to some of our more sermon based shows. Like a lot of the shows, you have a sermon base, and then of course on our side we have Pastor V and the Renewed Mind with Dr. Duckett, and even with Mrs. Devil Slayer, the Matthews. You know, doing Bible study and bringing women and men of God on the program, and even Powerlift. They have a lot of, they talk about a lot of testimonials. Most of our shows are testimonial, but we're finding that a lot of our shows are streaming over there and being downloaded like never before. And I told you how this show does really well. Just think about this too. You got your Joseph Prince and Joyce Myers and all those guys on Pray.com. Pray.com puts a lot of marketing into overseas airplay. So especially in Africa and South America. So the gospel is traveling like crazy. You know, so every place it would be the gospel. Amen. So they know. Oh yeah. Also, my boy John Remedy. I had to shout out to John Remedy. John sent me a video. He wrote a song called, I believe it's called One God, and he has video of people in different parts of the country, like Asia and the Soviet Union, singing clips of the song. Yeah. He mixed it all together. We'll be airing it real soon. Yeah, you have to check that out. So, yeah, they getting the gospel, Kimmy Kim. This is traveling.
Yes, I was just so amazed by hearing them, you know, with the singing. And they have some soul, too.
Yeah, but, you know, it was an artist. We had an artist on here before. I think it was Steve Dalton. It was either Steve Dalton or... Gosh, I can't think of, I can see his name. Gregory D. I think it was him. They told me they're booked overseas in Asian countries, and they said it'd be, the lines be wrapped around the building. And you know, and they're not like they mainstream, you know, they gospel. But they not mainstream gospel. And it was crazy, you know, it's really popular overseas. And even Bello said when they were holding church and having they put some of the artists over with them, people was climbing through the windows trying to get into the sanctuary to hear them perform. So yeah, people love it. Of course, you know, we get so much of everything.
People are hurting now because you know what's going on in the world, you know.
Yeah, but you know, Jesus' name is Jesus. Jesus' word is traveling, so that's why we're here to do what we do. We were secondary. We were sick secular radio at one time. Remember that 8 years ago, and now we Christian. All right. We got to get out of here, y'all. Our time is up, but we appreciate everybody tuning in. Don't forget, y'all, stay put. Oh, tomorrow, I think around noontime, you catch me on Tea Time with T. Spence on, I think it's called Drop the Tap Mic. I'll put it on my page. You can check my page out, Jerry Woods Live, and you find that flyer and that link for tomorrow's show. Get a chance to hear you. Yours truly. I'm bringing it to you. My testimony. And that's it. Come on out and check us out. The Weekend Channel will be up real soon. We're going to be showcasing a lot of our television original programming as well as our podcast. We're still building the page, so come on out and check us out on Jerry Woods Live. Find out what's going on. All right, Kimmy Kim, you ready? You ready to go? Are you ready to go? Here we go.
Can you feel the power? Can you feel the power? Feel the power of Double X. Worldwide podcast.
Hey, 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 my name is Davis and I'm from Haiti, but I'm living in Dominican Republic. I'm here, Positive Power 21, Jerry Woods Live, worldwide.
Hello, my name is C, and I am a recording artist from Rwanda in Africa. You're listening to the best internet radio station in the USA with Jerry Royce Live and Positive Power 21.